you know, so clearly a category that they believe is part of a left-wing ideology to not talk about unborn babies as babies. So if they can ban the word fetus, I presume they think that they will shed light upon the actual meaning of abortion, which, you know, for the right wing is equated with murder and killing and so on. So these kinds of words are so important. And as we saw in the AIDS crisis, to remove words from the vocabulary of healthcare professionals is very, very often to deny healthcare to vulnerable populations.
And Dr. Holt, I'd like to ask you, you're the chief executive of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. You and 15 other science society heads requested a meeting earlier this year with EPA head Scott Pruitt. What happened?
Well, nothing. And thanks, Juan, for asking that. It's we've been reaching out to this administration and, of course, to previous administrations to urge that all policies start with evidence-based thinking. You can bring your values in. You can bring your other perspectives in, but first you have to start with an understanding of how things actually are. Mr. Pruitt, the head of the EPA when he was in Oklahoma, was constantly disparaging climate science. In fact, he denied that it was a science. And he said, well, we don't really know enough. There's a debate about this. And therefore, we won't even look at it. We won't even consider it. Well, in fact, if he thinks there's a debate, all the more reason that he should be open to the collection of evidence, the study of the science. He has, at EPA, also restricted scientists from sitting on science advisory committees for what he calls conflict of interest, even though he willingly and frequently lets corporate people sit on those committees and ignores any possible conflict of interest there.
I mean, so, you have also President Trump yesterday outlining his blueprint for national security in a speech trumpeting U.S. military might, but failing to mention the threat posed by climate change, something the Pentagon knows very well, has put it forward as a major national security threat.
Yes, Amy, the president relegated climate change to something he called energy dominance, the energy dominance section of his national security presentation. In other words, not as a legitimate science that should be studied, not as a threat to international stability. So it is this idea of wishing things away. And wishful thinking and ideology, and by ideology I just mean pre-baked opinions that one holds dearly, those are the enemies of good policy and good regulation. And the antidote for that is evidence-based thinking. Now, it's not clear what the CDC folks said you couldn't say about evidence-based thinking, but the fact that the subject only comes up in response to outcry from employees there at CDC that they were being muzzled suggests to me that they have not elevated evidence-based thinking to their highest priority.
And you said that it's not just the Trump administration, although they may be the most extreme, but that previous administrations, you've had questions about what they've done in terms of dealing with evidence-based or science-based thinking.
You know, I would argue that for some decades, the American people have retreated somewhat from evidence-based thinking. However fascinated they are by science, however approving they appear to be when questioned about science, they don't show much attention. They're negligent, and policymakers are too, in their approach to science. The first question that every citizen should ask, as well as every policymaker should ask when confronting a regulation or a policy, is what's the evidence? And that's what it means to think like a scientist. I'm not arguing that all Americans should wear lab coats, but all Americans should have this, let's call it empirical approach, which I think is a long-standing American characteristic that has been eroding.
A former federal official who spoke anonymously to the New York Times called the move stupid and Orwellian, but said, quote, they're not saying to not use the words in reports or articles or scientific publications or anything else the CDC does. They're saying not to use it in your request for money because it'll hurt you. It's not about censoring what CDC can say to the American public. It's about a budget strategy to get funded. Now, Dr. Rush Holt, you were a congressman. Jack Halberstam, you're a professor. You apply to the government, I assume, for government funding. The significance of this. They're not saying it's an overall ban. They're just saying if you want to get any money, don't use these words.
Right.
That is primarily a bow to ideology.
And which has the effect of suppressing the exact kinds of health projects that people might submit that are based and are in relationship to people of color, queer people, women. Those are the targeted groups in that list. And it's a very, or not very subtle way of saying we don't particularly care about delivering complex health care to those
we
people.
We have to leave it there. We thank you so much, Dr. Jack Halberstam of Columbia University and Dr. Rush Holt of the American Association for the Advancement of Science.
You are less likely to let the influence of alcohol lead to unsafe sex when you carry a condom. One-third of condom buyers are women. Join them. Don't rely on the guy. You be the influence. Buy, carry, demand condoms. Go to youbetheinfluence.org. A project of the American Sexual Health Association.
It's my first day to be a big brother. Maybe I'll take him to a movie. No, not big enough. I'll take him to a carnival. Yeah, we can go on a Ferris wheel. It's gotta be big. It's gotta be huge.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. I'm Felipe. What do you want to do today?
I was thinking maybe watch the game on TV.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking that too.
When you're a mentor, it doesn't matter what you do. The important thing is spending time together. To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Ad Council.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, streaming online at WUSB.fm. We're also on the frequencies W297BM Stony Brook. That's 107.3 FM. If you're on campus and in the Stony Brook area, it's approximately 6 after 6 on a Tuesday. That can mean only one thing. With no further delay, it's time for Off the Wall. Yes, yes, indeed. All right. You're listening, as I said, to Off the Wall. I'm Kyle, and I'm joined by E.
10 minutes after the hour. Do I have a microphone? Oh, good. Okay, 10 minutes after the hour. We have to have a shorter theme. Or start earlier. I don't know. I think Amy ran a little long tonight. But yes, here we are. A full hour, even though we've lobbed off 10 minutes of it already, to talk about whatever is happening in the world and your lives and things like that. This is the last show that will be in the studio live this year.
Last one this year. Okay, mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, yeah. We'll be producing and I don't know. In the future, we'll be producing maybe while we're traveling. But until then, we'll be pre-recorded. We'll come up with something from some really interesting place, no doubt.
Yes. Do we want to tell people the interesting places we're going to? Or
no.
We don't want to tell them?
No,
at all?
Not at all. No, I don't know.
Okay, I thought we were going to tell. All right, fine. We won't tell them anything.
It's either we're coy or not. I think we should maybe say one or two places.
You do
places.
Know that's how we meet our listeners in these different places we go to.
That's
by
true.
Telling them we're going to go there.
We would miss out completely if we didn't say a little bit, because often when we do, we meet some really, really cool people. We find the best vantage point in wherever we're going. It's the best way to do it is having that local perspective. But you pick. I don't know. I don't know what we should say or not say.
I mean, we've already told people we're going to Congress.
Don't say the order we're going in anything.
Well, no, because we don't even know the
Maybe
order.
Maybe we're going to Congress last.
How could that be? Because the Congress starts on the 27th, and that's a week from tomorrow. So we're going to be going there pretty quickly, and then we're going to be going to other places as well. But, you know, here's the thing. We don't really know ourselves what's going to be working out, because we've mentioned that we want to go into the East a bit, Eastern Europe. When you decide to do something like that, it becomes a little iffy, because you can't make reservations online as easily. For instance, to get from, say, Budapest to points east. Theoretically, you can do that online, but not necessarily. And what we're probably going to wind up doing is deciding there what we're going to do next.
Right, right. And that's a really, really flexible, comfortable way to travel. It's the best way, I'd say. And
Having a shouting match in a train station in a foreign language. It's paradise for me.
I also like those really big towns. When we find those stations, it's fascinating because so many different points. You look up, it's the same board you'd see at any train station, naturally. Mm-hmm. But, of course, wherever you are, some places might be closer. Those are local trains. Others are more regional. So you're looking at what's the furthest distance on the board? That's always fun. Where can the next train coming in, where could it possibly be coming from? What
right.
kinds of people are getting off and on that train?
Yeah, when a train arrives, you just stare at the people getting off of it and wonder what their story is. Until they become really uncomfortable, and the same thing for the people leaving on other trains. Where are they going? What are their plans? What will they be doing? And that's how you get engrossed in the entire travel world. And you know what we're doing? We're traveling in the wintertime when it's a lot cheaper. I mean, it's really super cheap. You can actually travel overseas for about the price that it costs to travel to Washington D.C. by train. If you get on the expensive one, it's, you know, you can find some really, really good deals. I'm talking, you know, like $150 for a flight, which is really pretty damn good to get to Europe. So
that's a good, it's a encouraging reason to go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I think your mic is not very, is super directional.
Well,
I think you have to be speaking directly into it because they don't hear you.
What I haven't announced to our listeners yet is that we've got a fantastic new bit of equipment and a new mic tree. So the control, I'm in more control now because of all of these little things that they're adding. But it's taking a little getting used to. But pardon me, forget what I am here and I'll speak up.
It's set up so that the only way you can speak into the microphone is if you're facing away from me so that we don't look each other in the eye.
I didn't want to say, I mean, frankly, we need like rearview mirrors, because if I could sit here and look at the board and then see you in the mirror,
that's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
We should just put a mirror right here so I can look straight forward, mm-hmm. and then you and I can actually be talking. Because yeah, it's really awkward to both stare in one direction and then turn 185 degrees.
You know what you could also do? You could climb on top of the table and hop in the back there and pivot the microphone so that you're facing me. But and you don't have control over the board.
Sit on the console like a substitute teacher or
you
something?
You could do that too. Yeah, sort of like, you know, the squat on the... Well, okay, we'll work this out. Hey, this is the first year we've been in this studio. Remember a year ago, we were back in the old decrepit building.
This is around the time that we had the big station move, a huge effort.
So all this happened in the last year. We moved in, what, January, right?
Yeah.
And so all of this happened this year. And we were in the other studio down the hall. The temporary studio, which was an improvement over our permanent studio of the past. And now this, it's like the Taj Mahal. It really is. It's incredible. And we're able to do all kinds of amazing things we weren't able to do before. And one of the amazing things we're going to do tonight is hopefully take your phone calls, because we want to hear from our listeners.
Yes.
And we're able to use delay now seamlessly. If you ever want to hear torture, listen to us going into delay in the past, what we had to go through. Now it's seamless. Half the time, we don't even know if we're live or in delay. I don't know right now which one we are.
I can't. I'm not going to divulge this, but yeah, it's working well. Let's just put it that way. It's I wouldn't say because if you have an outburst, I don't want you to think that we can just be flipping switches and making your words disappear.
Well, I mean,
I don't want you to do radio like that.
Literally, the only way I would, if I said something now, I'd run out into the hallway and see if I heard myself say it 7 seconds later. Then I'd know, oh, we're in delay. That's how I would be able to tell.
Oh, I know. This is a special message because you want me to check, don't you? This is inside.
No, actually, I wasn't saying anything like that. But now that you mentioned it, yes, I think that's a good idea, is to check.
I'm
to make
not
sure
even going
to
tell you
still
if
on
I
the
checked
air.
Or not.
But
no, that was good. I saw you blinking.
But as long as we're giving out messages on the air, I think your audition levels are a little high there. You see it's peeking into the red, so we don't want that to happen too much. I've been trying to motion to turn that down a little bit. And
That's why you're blinking.
That's why I'm doing that, yeah.
Okay.
But yes, to get back to travel. You know, you wind up in these places in the off-peak season, and then you just figure out ways to get from one place to another. Now, what we always do... when we go into a city for the first time, we always try to find a cheap place to stay near the train station so that when you have to go, you don't have to go far, and you get the lay of the land, you figure out where things are, and it's usually a pretty good area. You know, it's not a ritzy area. It's a pretty good part of town where things happen. And you get to learn the train system. You get to learn where things are in the main station, and that's your gateway to the rest of the world.
Yeah, and the town, of course, because they're centrally located, and as you said, there's usually a hubbub, a veritable hubbub.
A veritable hubbub.
Of yes. activity.
Absolutely.
And in the holidays especially, of course, you've got people traveling locally and the international folks alike, and of those will be... some of them.
So since we actually really don't know where we're going to be going, I can say, because we have told people this, we are going to Iceland again. We said we were going to do that. We vowed we would do that, go to Iceland in the wintertime. And so we will be doing that and hopefully seeing the Northern Lights. And our plan is to drive the Ring Road in January. The Ring Road goes around the entire country. Now, people say January is not a good time to do that. And yeah, I could see why you would say that, because it's winter and it's Iceland. And it's a mountainous, slippery road. And yeah, okay, but you know what? It's also an adventure. It's also something that not everybody is doing. And I want to see those damn Northern Lights. And if I don't see them now, I've tried everything. I really have tried. I've gone around the globe on a freighter in the middle of the ocean. Okay, I've gone to northern Norway in the winter and northern Sweden in the winter. Nothing. I haven't seen a thing. Been to Canada, you know, Alaska. I'm playing the game, all right? I'm trying to see these damn Northern Lights, and I'm starting to believe they don't really exist. So this January. This January, it's really that's my day of reckoning here. So hopefully,
show yourself is what we're saying. If to the we do Borealis.
See, if we do see the aurora borealis, you will hear it here on the radio, just like you heard the eclipse back in August on the radio. Boy, that was something. We did the eclipse this year.
Yeah, there's been a lot. I think this will be the second celestial phenomena, unless it happens next year. Maybe once a year we notice and observe something spectacular, and that was really good. And thankfully we didn't damage our eyes.
No, we didn't.
I've not hurt my my vision. Yours seems as good, and that means we can look at more stuff, and that's exciting. That is something to really marvel at and be thankful for.
I also now have 20/20 hindsight. That's an addition that I got as a result of having eclipse glasses, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I should also point out we were nominated for an award for radio coverage of the eclipse. So there's that. We've had a pretty active year. We've had all kinds of interesting things that have happened.
We still have our glasses, too, which we've been told we can reuse so long as we don't damage them.
Yes, but not for this sun. You can use it for other eclipses of other suns, but apparently you only get it once for one sun.
One use per sun, right? That's part of the agreement? Or
what the guy at the hardware store said when
okay.
we got them. But okay, so anyway, yeah, so Iceland, we're going to Iceland, we don't know yet what places we're going to in Eastern Europe, but what places would you like to go, Kyle? Because these are the things that we're thinking of doing. You know, we'd like to... visit other countries that we have not been to or that maybe I've been to in the past and haven't been back to. We've been to Albania. We've been to pretty much every republic of the former Yugoslavia.
I'd love to go back to some of the places we visited before mm-hmm. in former Yugoslavia. How easily, I'm not sure. Macedonia was fun. I'd like to explore that a little bit more.
Do you remember we took the train from Sarajevo to Belgrade,
mm-hmm.
From Bosnia to Serbia, but that train doesn't run anymore.
That was so... Yeah, you had found... I guess there was some coverage. They shut that down. It was so new. It was really interesting. I'm really glad we did that. And that was part of many different rail lines and connections we made on that trip. Now, it was a real adventure, and we've many shows about it. We talked uh-huh. about it at length, but it was really remarkable recently to hear that something we had experienced and shared with our listeners so long ago, a couple of years ago, to then get an update that it's not running. That's incredible how special those little things are when you get a line opening up. That's, you know, it's worth taking advantage of. Check it out. It may not be there forever. We noticed this, what city was that? We were at a rail station, and this was the part of the line that extended from New Orleans, right? That the train station stopped. Was that Birmingham?
Yes. No, that was in Florida. That was, Tallahassee.
Tallahassee, right? Yes. Yeah. That was the, we went to the station that would be the terminus for the line that had not been reconstructed since the damage.
Actually, no, not the terminus. Basically, the midway point between New Orleans and Orlando.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. It was into Florida, but not the end per se of the line.
And I'm told that most of the line, if not all the line, has been rebuilt, and it's just political wrangling that has kept it from reopening. It would be great to have that Amtrak spur open again. I don't know what's delaying it. But we did go there only a few weeks ago on our way back from Florida and visited that station.
So, I mentioned Macedonia. Geez. Well, we never made it to Dubrovnik in Croatia. That would be cool.
That would be nice.
Maybe not this trip. I don't know. Generally, geez, I've talked about Kazakhstan. That would be really interesting.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay. That's
you don't need a visa to go there, do you?
You know, I'm not sure. I've never actually looked into that.
Budapest was fun. I really liked Hungary.
I like Budapest. It's one of my cities.
It would be fun to go there again. It's kind of like one of those places with the central train station and that sort of intersection of all parts of that country, but as well, also the region. And there's a lot going on there. We've definitely followed the coverage of migrants and the sort of displacement.
Well, that's
and
going
so
to be
on.
If we go there, that's going to be interesting because that's changed since the last time we were there, and Hungary has gotten kind of a bad reputation for not being exactly welcoming to migrants. So that would be an interesting perspective to look at that country from, to see how they are actually treating these people.
Yeah, and they're sort of the furthest south point. for the EU as it stands now, like technical point. And they've been very strident or very firm in, mm-hmm. in their attitudes, taking on people from displaced area, displaced and refugees coming in to the EU zone. So there's a lot of, I guess, variation in the attitudes. You have Germany, who's taken on a very huge generations of migrants as a result of that. So we'll be definitely looking at some of those things. Ukraine was fun. We've done that as part of Yugoslavia, Poland as well. Those are very interesting places.
Yes. Ukraine, though, is at war now, so it's kind of a little bit different. Boy, things have gotten darker since we went over there, you know?
Did you? I got that feeling, too. Yeah. I was thinking about it. I was like, you know...
Stop running the train. They're not welcoming to migrants. They're at war. What the hell? Come on, people.
Do you have these war criminals killing themselves in court? You have, you know...
Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's all this, like, non-justice. I mean, it's... Is that justice? I don't know. But... You know, I don't know. Did he get out of it? I don't know how you would characterize it.
I think technically he's still guilty.
The point is, the world is as much, if not more, tumultuous. Mm-hmm. We love the concept of traveling all over the Europe area, European continent, as well as even North Africa. And it would be wonderful if the world was more connected. Overtly connected, but we know that's the truth on the ground, but it isn't always presented that way, and there's just incredible conflict. So yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
well, you know, when we travel, we generally travel light, you know, and that's another secret, is to travel light, you know, bring a couple of bags with you at the most. But I fear that in this particular set of travels that we're about to embark upon, that we're going to have some excess baggage. You know, and I don't know what the extra fees and penalties that we will have to shoulder for this excess baggage will be. And I don't know if I'm prepared. I would like to leave the baggage at home, but I just fear that whenever we find ourselves walking in a foreign city, that baggage will be around our necks like an albatross. Of course, I'm referring to...
Geopolitical baggage?
Yes, I'm referring to what our country is going through right now, and we will have to explain that to everybody that we meet, unless we tell them we're Canadian. Which,
well,
you know, I've done in the past, but I'd like to, you know, give people the sense that there's hope, you know, that we're doing something about it.
It's the same posture, though. I find that it's a position we've been in before. Mm-hmm. It is more extreme, okay, more exaggerated than it has been in years past. But I think Americans are the best diplomats for Americans. And people really do listen. They do want to hear what we have to say. And I think the world understands through their own experiences that leadership doesn't always represent everyone. In fact, most cases, in most countries, they're there, they're ever present, but they aren't the people. They aren't the real on the ground kind of experience of life that maybe the government or individuals in power would want. You know, people are different. There's a lot that I guess our leadership has brought up that's maybe uncomfortable, but I think we're equipped to have those conversations. We've done it before. It's just going to be more of that.
Well, you know, I'd like to especially hear from people overseas when we open up the phones, if anybody is listening overseas at this hour. How do you deal with Americans? You know, what... What do you say to them? What do you ask them? Because you have to realize that in this country, you know, a lot goes on, but we're hardly in agreement on anything. Look, what happened last Tuesday was great. We were talking about this, the Alabama election.
Yes.
And I expressed my confidence in the people of Alabama, and I'm happy to say that I was not disappointed. I know there are so many intelligent people down there, and I'm kind of tired of having them maligned and presented as as stupid people, backwoods people. You know, there are people like that everywhere, okay? Right here in New York City, for instance, there are people like that.
Yeah.
Long Island, there are certainly people like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are stupid people everywhere. And it's not always the people that disagree with you. Sometimes it's the people who agree with you that were stupid. It's, you know, all kinds of exceptions to the rule. But to just say that because somebody sounds a certain way, that they're ignorant. You know, you make fun of the accent. I find that to be wrong. But it's hard to explain that to people. It's hard to try and make that point when it's so easy to make fun of one group or another. Well, you know, it's if it's wrong in one instance, it should be wrong in the other instance as well. Let's listen to what people actually have to say, not the way they say it.
Yeah, yeah, and don't let just the loudest voices speak for everyone. It's not the case, and it just. Yeah, I think we're going to do a lot of listening, and I think, when people, you know, express themselves when they have a perspective on it, you know, that's instructive. That's how we look, mm-hmm. And that kind of becomes something we can bring back to our own community and say, what others are thinking, and that's something we'll be asking as many questions. Anybody who listens to us, who has heard the show or knows Americans themselves would probably understand that we've been talking about this quite a bit. But the thing is, when you're traveling, when you're on your own, or you're a sort of relative stranger in distant lands, I think you get asked those sort of vital questions. Where are you from? What is your purpose here?
Are you, what are you doing here?
Yeah, why are you here? I think was one term that we thought quite funny but logical. I think that was in Albania in particular.
Yes,
that's fun. It's fun to do that. You know, you can. We have as much to share and have been as confused as I think the rest of the world will be. There will probably be a lot of telling us of how we should. Think about it or be about it or my favorite is that we should give up, that America is over, it's falling apart. That's quite common.
It's easy to say in some ways.
Well, it is in a lot of ways. It's easy to say when you don't live here that it's falling apart and that it's not worth it.
It's easy to say when you live here.
It's easy to say when you do live
it's
here.
It's easy to be negative.
Yeah. Yeah. But... You know, my feeling is that, you know, a lot of people still do live here, and we have to remind ourselves a lot of what has been going on. The messiness itself has been sort of a backlash to, I think, the role that the U.S. has played, and I mean that both in sort of Hippocratic, in the sort of the ways we're hypocrites, you know, hypocritical stuff that we may say diplomatically and then do in our own interest. And this sort of nationalist stuff that is being talked about, you know, we're not without fault, I think. The work that has yet to be done is not going to get done just I think by being negative, you know. And then that's important, you know. We still get a say in how our country and how things happen, and mm-hmm. Yeah, the loudest voices, they may sound very, very loud, but there's so much going on behind the scenes that is going on in everybody's lives that, you know, you have these interesting things like what happened in Alabama, that change there.
Oh yeah, so we should point out what happened.
Well, no, the thing, yeah, I think we're still transitioning, but the thing that's interesting to me is how that result, which you're going to disclose. And how that went, how that affects the national thing, because everything's connected. It's all mm-hmm. related. And that's why why we're talking about travel, why we're talking about geopolitics and baggage and all that. This is this small thing, this little race that was, you know, sensationalized and there's drama and all this stuff going on around it. But for me, what it did federally, and this is the narrowing of the votes in the Senate, is a direct result of people collectively getting together, in particular black women in Alabama.
Yes.
So,
Basically, the child molester lost.
More is no more.
No, that's not true, because he still won't even accept the results of the race that Doug Jones won.
Exactly. He refused to concede. Trump called Doug Jones, but Moore can't admit it or won't. Wow, what a poor sport. Definition of poor sport.
Well, he's not a sport at all. So it's a victory, but it's a small victory, but it's also enough to make things a bit more difficult for the Republican agenda to move forward in the Senate. Now, of course, Republicans, the hypocrites that they are, basically won't allow this tax debate to happen in January when Doug Jones takes his seat. They're pushing it through right now. In the past, they've said, "Oh, we can't talk about health care until all the newly elected senators are seated." So the same rules don't apply. And unfortunately, today is the day that they are voting on that tax bill, which basically, we're going to see this. We're going to see how screwed people are by this in the years ahead, and how rich people and corporations benefit tremendously. But, we don't have time to even get into that. It's just indication of progress moving backwards in many ways. But we have to focus on the good things that have happened. And that election last week is a good thing. It's a damn good thing, because it shows that Alabama, of all places, can inspire us to think more progressively. And I think it bodes well for the future. I think we just have to keep the pressure on. Every time we get pushed back, just remember we're gonna eventually resist even stronger than that. You push people back really, really hard, and the strength at which they resist will be equally hard, if not more so. So I'm enthused by that. I think there is progress happening. I wish there was more. I wish people were more aware of the power that they have. For instance, we should be surrounding the offices of these idiots that are getting us into these messes, spending trillions of dollars we don't have, and basically just creating a very hateful environment, a very ignorant environment, doing things undoing all the progress that we have made. If we feel that is wrong, we should be reacting against it instead of simply just accepting it. Now, of course, a lot of people are all for it, and there are a lot of people out there that I think are just wrong. I don't expect them to be resisting this. But if they're the only ones that are speaking out, well, they're going to get their way. And what you have to realize is that you have a voice too. And sometimes you have to raise that voice. Sometimes you have to do things that basically call attention to your position. We can't be afraid of that. And I think that's the problem the Democrats have had, not only this year, throughout the course of the last few decades. They're just too timid. They want to win Republicans over rather than defeat them. And they need to be unapologetic for who they are. And think of every single movement where individuals have been celebrated is because they're unapologetic for who they are. We need a lot more of that. And I just hope stronger candidates come forward so that we can get behind them and be enthusiastic about them rather than just lesser of two evils.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that is showing that the Democrat platform is in line with and in touch with, in step with the rest of the world. And that, I think, is true with some things on trade and sort of the nationalist direction. It's a contrast to that. Mm-hmm. And it's important. I think that, those values are values that other nations, other liberal governments have established, and we can stand for them. We just need to not shy away from those loud voices, as we've talked about.
Yes. Okay, I have an answer for your question, Kyle.
Sure.
Kazakhstan. No visa required for up to 30 days. So we can go there without a visa for 30 days. But, there's other places. That's really far east.
Yeah, I know.
How about like Romania or Bulgaria? Yeah, our friend Bob's from Bulgaria. We can visit him at some point.
If we could plan that, that would be really interesting. Maybe stopping by Sofia. Uh-huh, I think that's how you pronounce it. Sofia.
Or Sofia. One of those.
Sofia.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Or Bucharest in Romania?
That's a big, big town, right?
It's the capital of the country.
Why not? Okay. That is a possible destination. If you're from any of those areas and you know a particular place like Bucharest, recommend a place. Where should we go? Where are you from? What do you like about your town?
And Moldova, currently the poorest country in Europe. That might be interesting, too.
Oh, that sounds great.
That's adjacent to Romania. I've never been there.
I don't know anything about it, but I'm fascinated. I would love to photograph and just take in some of these unknown places for even further east in Europe than we've been.
And these are places you can get to by train. You know you can get to all these places by train. So that's the amazing thing about it.
Yeah, that's kind of our theme. We really, this is a network. It's a network we're familiar with. We want to explore even more distant parts of this network. And it's vast. It's so diverse. There's so many languages, so many countries. Really, it's an incredibly exciting thing. So we're really fascinated with all of those places. If you know of a country that's a part that's easily or not so easily reached on the European rail network, let us know.
Yes,
that's great. We've got. Do you want to take calls?
Yeah, I think so. We have to confine it to Europe. But before we take calls, just let me just update people on something because we were talking about this last week, and that was, of course, the final competition, the Club World Cup, which basically took the team that we were following or a series of teams we were following over 3 years to the final championship. And the team that we were forced to follow was Real Madrid because they won the Champions League this year. And they went into a competition with other champions from around the world, including the winners from North America, from Asia. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow New Zealand always gets into this because there's not many teams there. I don't know why they, but regardless.
But they stick together, and that's important.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it turned into, of those seven teams, it turned into a final between Real Madrid and Grêmio from Brazil. Actually, Real Madrid also beat Al Jazeera, not the news network, the team.
Get out.
In the semifinal, that was the first game they played. And then, you know, Al Jazeera did a pretty good job, I thought. I thought they were a really good team, but they didn't win. And then Real Madrid played Grêmio, and they beat them, too. So Real Madrid is the champions of the entire damn planet, and that's it. There's no more games. It's over.
Okay, that's why you set the couch on fire. I was wondering, you were catching up on the games, and all I saw was a bonfire in the front.
Yeah. I'm just fed, you know, because... it's like the New York Yankees of football. They always win. They feel they're entitled to win. Mm-hmm. And Ronaldo is just a jerk. I don't like him. Whatever. You know, the thing is, no matter what team we picked, we always would have wound up here anyway with Real Madrid being the champion. And the other thing I'm wondering, too, is how can a local team like the Seattle Sounders win this particular Club World Cup? There's got to be a way to do that. I think they have to win a championship here and then play the European champion next December, and then they can be the world champions. But I have a lot to learn.
It's a true championship. That was one thing you remarked, and coming away from this, you realize this really is a way any team anywhere, any club that plays football can work their way up and contend in this way. It's fascinating.
And this tournament, this final tournament, was played in the United Arab Emirates, which is the site of the future World Cup. So that's they can play football there, and it does work.
Yes. Yeah. Oh man, that was fun. Yeah. We love watching that stuff, and yeah. They're getting it. They've got some interesting stuff. Lots of things to comment on as far as coverage and the run up. We're gonna have Winter Games soon. We're gonna have Russian World Cup eventually, maybe.
That's next year, the Russian World Cup, and I think it's the one after that in 4 years. That's United Arab Emirates.
That's right.
And then this year, Russia's banned from the Winter Olympics
for doping.
Wow. Okay.
That's right. They have a
a state doping program they were busted for, and so they're not participating.
Hey, does Iceland have much of a winter team? Because we're going to be in Iceland, I think, during the Winter Olympics. So,
well, hey, if you're an Olympian in Iceland, let us know. Maybe you know one. Maybe you know the best team. Like, what is the sport in Iceland that it just they excel at?
Tourism.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a sport, but...
Maybe it's cross-country shooting or something.
No, that's our domain.
Oh, no, you're right. That is an American...
If only mass shooting were an Olympic sport, boy, we'd be so good at it.
Could you believe it?
Well, we can
dream. Wow, so many medals.
Hey, our phone number is 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. That should be the only number, by the way, you call if you want to be on the air. We've gotten emails from people saying that, I called the other line and you didn't pick up. Yeah, you know why? Because it was the other line. Okay, we don't pick up the other line. We only pick up this line. It's an on-air line.
That is if I remember how to pick up the line.
I think you can pull it off. But, we're asking if you're in a different part of the world, let us know what part we should go to. So, how do you speak to Americans? Anything else on your mind? Our last show, live show of the year?
All right. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
No, it's not. You don't know that.
I know this has got to be him. Hello. You're on hold. Hello.
No, I think that's not right.
Hello. Caller, you're on the air.
You know, you've pressed this button before.
Why doesn't it work?
Well, are you pressing the right button? You got to press that button.
Okay, you are an American. Wow. Hello, you're on Off the Wall. Let us know.
Yeah, born in Huntington Hospital. I am.
Wow. Good for you. Good for you.
I was in Easter the other day. Anyway, can I ask a phone situation challenge?
That sounds like fun.
Sure. We love phone stuff.
Broke off the wall, but before I do that, I want to tell you, what you've been discussing is just really, really deep and interesting and cultural, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Well, okay. we try.
Like I said, I was an Easter at the doctors, I'm in the Stony Brook system, had heart situation, and...
Well, it's good. Good that you're getting it looked at, and
what's on your mind?
And that Dr. Majid Ali, let me tell you.
Okay, let's not do shout-outs to individual doctors.
Simple breathing exercise, I correct my AFibs.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I have a Lifeline phone, meaning it's like a medical phone, nicknamed Obama phone. Well, I'm not going to say since Obama, because that may not be accurate, but I think after Obama's gone, that they may have truncated some of the abilities to call some numbers.
In other words,
in other words, sometimes it says emergency calls only when I dial a number.
Okay. Can I ask, what is this phone supposed to give you?
I don't know. I think emergency access to emergencies in case they have a heart condition, which I so appreciate.
Uh-huh.
Now, I use it for some other things. I don't go crazy. They didn't give me a camera. I don't need one. I got a camera.
So it's being sort of disabled in some way, or because there's a lot of dismantling of Obama stuff. So, spiteful
right,
or not,
it works fine. And I'll drive from Brentwood to Central Islip to pick up my gal at the utility, and I call from the back of the building from that side of the lot, and it says emergency calls only. So I'll reboot it. I'll turn it off and then turn it back on. And go to the other end of the lot, and I can call her.
Wow, okay.
Now, I've done two things. I've gone to the other end of the lot, and I've turned it off and turned it on.
Right, you're repeating the scenario and then testing it. And, it sounds definitely like a reception issue. Double-check what kind of cases. Maybe try inside or outside your vehicle. I don't know if you've done that, but...
So then there's a
the
company...
In that lot is a tall tower with all kinds of cell, what do you call those things?
Well, being directly under it might be difficult, too.
There's a company that you are probably using, correct? Like Q-Link or something? Is there?
I haven't seen that one.
Okay, but there is your phone is attached to a company of some sort, right?
SafeLink.
Okay, SafeLink. So what I would suggest is call SafeLink, ask them, what should my phone be able to do? And that way you know if it's doing what it's supposed to do, Because I'll tell you this, I know there are entities that are trying to kill the Obama phone, pretty much because it's called the Obama phone. That's, if you put Obama in front of anything, I guarantee you people on the right wing will want to kill it. There are people that want this program to end. But what it should give you, free calling, free texting, emergency calls, that kind of thing. And like you said, you know, no camera or frills like that, but the basics. If that's not working, contact the company that provides it and ask them, is this supposed to be working this way?
Yeah. I'm not even complaining. I'm just going over with you. I'll tell you something else. Something that should end is this new tax thing that's absolutely unfair to almost everybody except for the few.
Oh, yeah.
There's
the wealthy jerks anyway.
I'm with you on that. It's worth listening to some of the negotiating that's going on. They're doing marking up, and they basically come together with something in the end from both House and Senate. And I mean, the one exemption for Dodd-Frank, what was it? Companies over $50 billion don't get subject to scrutiny and the extra scrutiny.
$50 billion. Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa,
so
good.
As soon as your favorite company or individual throw a nonprofit in there too, I'm sure you could.
No, I'm glad they lowered that. It was $100 billion before, and that, okay,
yeah,
not that.
Oh, no, it seems more fair. Anyway, thanks for your call.
Yeah, we're gonna take another phone call. Thanks very much.
Way that train that crashed. They're saying now on the mainstream media it was 50 miles over its speed limit.
Yes.
Over its expected speed.
Yeah, that's because they don't have the right safety mechanisms in place. It's all got to do with infrastructure management and budgets and things like that.
Yeah, and they don't drive the trains as fast when they have tanks on them. But with passengers, it's a little harder. Okay, next
call.
Let's
take another phone call.
Hello, you're on Off the Wall.
I don't think you pressed the right button.
Hello?
Again. You have to press the one below.
Hello, you're on Off the Wall. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
Hi.
Can you hear me all right? I'm sorry. I'm new to the phones. Thanks. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is that I was just driving my son to actually a legislative meeting at his high school, and we heard them say on the radio that mass shooting was a sport in the Olympics, that U.S. would be great at it? I mean, did I hear that right?
Yeah, probably, yeah. I think I said that, but, you know, it wasn't a 100% serious thing. But when you look at it, you look at the facts, this is something that we do excel at, one of the negative things we excel at in this country. And no matter what happens, we don't ever seem to deal with the situation. Look, you had the Las Vegas mass shooting, and what's the piece of legislation that's come out of that? Something that makes it easier to get guns, not harder. You know, it's so insane, the reality, that occasionally throwing in a bit of mockery, I think no one's even going to notice. But I'm glad you noticed.
Yeah, it's a gallows.
I know, it is insane.
I understand that, but the problem is, you know.
Wait, who's this?
This is my son.
Okay, hang on. Let's everybody introduce each other, because, okay.
I'm out there, I'm 15 years old, I go along with high school, and I think it's a little sensitive. You guys are always talking about sensitive subjects.
Well, of course we're sensitive to that. Of course, we want something to be done, and nothing is being done. All right. So by mocking our country and saying that, yeah, you know what, we're the mass shooting champions of the world, maybe that'll wake some people up so that something does get done, so that those people don't keep dying for no reason.
That is not the way. Well, it's to raise awareness. Raising awareness is not joking about it. You people wonder why legislators and other people don't take you seriously. These guys are cracking jokes like this half-heartedly.
Okay, well, you know, there's humor can be used in many, many ways. But, you know, when you say you people, that tells me that you're not on the same side. It tells me that you're not seeing it the same way we are as far as getting something changed, getting our society to look at this in a different way. The whole rest of the world, I've got news for you, is laughing at us already, okay? They cannot figure out what is with our obsession with guns, why we can never seem to get past this. And, you know, I can't say I'm surprised. You know, after this happened in Las Vegas, people said, yeah, things will change now, finally. They haven't changed at all, and they're not going to change until something radical happens.
Yeah, I feel pretty aware. Thanks. If it's called gallows humor,
And yeah, it's kind of the coping mechanism for people that are sensitive. I can tell you guys are quite sensitive as well, and I really hope that that you can spread your awareness and that we all cope with the realities in our own ways. And yeah, get active yourselves. Thanks so much.
I just think it's not something to be joked about in that manner. But anyway, happy holidays.
You too. Well, I'm glad we got some notification. What's the word? I'm glad we got noticed.
Well, it's unfortunate. You can be too sarcastic sometimes, and I think it's dangerous because these are sensitive issues. And I think that's the point, is that it's really sensitive, and we tend to desensitize ourselves to the abject violence, wherever that is. And whether it's in our language, we have all these idioms and phrases for, like, you know, the last shot or dodged a bullet, or, you know, we have all these gun references that we just accept in our lexicon.
That's the thing. We accept it. We accept all this injustice, all this inaction. We accept all the things that we've come to expect. But then you make a joke about something, and that's what gets people upset. And that gets me upset, because where are you on all the other issues? Come on, we need to get things changed. Like, for instance, when the Palins went nuts again this week.
Tank? What's his name? Tyke? Take?
I don't even know.
Some weird name.
It doesn't matter. The point is, he basically beat up his father or something like that. And, you know, in my eyes, if you are convicted of domestic violence or violence of any sort, you should not be able to get a gun, period. And when you say that, people object. They say, oh, but that's not fair, because you could be wrongfully accused or wrongfully convicted. Hey, you know what? You could be wrongfully convicted, and yet, guess what? You go to prison then, wrongfully convicted. It's called paying a penalty for something. And yeah, sometimes the wrong penalty is paid, but the fact is, a penalty of some sort is paid for the perception of having committed a crime. And this is a good way of getting guns out of the hands of people who, for the most part, are violent. And people who are convicted of violent crimes, I think for the most part, are violent. I don't think that's a statement that's very controversial. So here is a perfect example of somebody who should not be allowed to have guns. And yes, maybe he can get his hands on guns illegally. But you know what? You can commit all kinds of crimes illegally. By saying you're not allowed to have a gun because you're a violent person, we're taking a step. And if we're not willing to do that, we're not willing to take that step and keep guns out of the hands of people who have been proven to be violent, what hope is there? Then all we can do is make jokes, you know, because that's all that's left. And it's really pretty sad and pathetic. So, yeah. That's an example, and I think if we if we use that as the the rule for moving forward, I think we'd actually make some progress. So let's have some reaction to that, you know, not just the jokes, but to the actual attempts to do something, because we never get anything done because we're constantly debating these minutiae.
Well, and it seems daunting, but I think the frank conversations will lead to things that I think everyone can agree on, and I think that's what needs to be sought
right
in the discussion. Hey, and it's work we have to do.
You can write to us, otw@2600.com. That's our email address. And I think we're out of time, and we'll be back next week. We don't know exactly from where, but we won't be here live. We'll be somewhere. Until then, it's Emmanuel for Kyle, and Off the Hook. Off the Wall. I said the wrong show. Why'd you stop the theme? Just because I make a mistake, you don't have to stop the music. Will you stop stopping the music? Wow.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, hey kids, it's Finn. Finn's Revolution on this week before the quote-unquote Christmas holiday. I'm going to ruin it for you tonight, so stay tuned. I promise no gun jokes. Well, I can't promise no death, but no gun jokes. And so stay tuned. Happy holidays, kids.
Is left lying on the floor, and the wreath we hung up weeks ago is rotting on the door. And I'd like to punch the lights out of that crooked tree vendor. And if I saw St. Nick tonight, there'd be a scene of gore. I'd throw a match into the fire and make the chimney roar. talking about the kisses and the hugs and all the little heartstrings that the festive season tugs. But all I see are lager louts, shoplifters and thugs. So fill my mug, 'cause Christmas is for the mugs. Of Euclid Avenue. I stopped taking dope, I quit drinking whiskey. My old man plays the trombone, works out at the track. He says that he loves me, though it's not his baby. He says that it raised him up like it was on sun. He gave me a ring that was worn by his mother. He takes me out dancing every Saturday.